Thanks as always for listening to Fluff and Crunch. Just when you thought it was safe to finish your Star Trek Adventures book collection, Modiphius drops the news that they are releasing a second edition of the core rulebook later this year, maybe even at Gen Con or shortly thereafter. In this episode, Chris and I discuss our wish list, the things we would love to see in this new book, the things we hope to not see in this new book, and we stay away from baseless conjecture, which I know is surprising on the internet nowadays that we're staying away from that because there really isn't a whole lot in terms of specific details that are out there. Like and subscribe by whatever platform you're listening to this, and we would love for you to get involved in the conversation. Join our Discord. Let's talk about what we want to see in this book. What's great in Star Trek Adventures? Where, as it is now, what rough spots are there? How could it be improved? Let's go ahead and help each other by keeping an eye on this story as it develops. Thanks, as always, for listening. Drum roll. Here we go. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. And I know for a fact that I've done no gaming since we last spoke, and I'm going to guess that you've done no gaming either since it's the same work week.
Well, I've played Warhammer miniatures game because I've started playing miniatures with Brian on a Monday. So actually now, I will virtually always have done something, yes.
And what we are here to talk about, though, today, we promised this, we talked about this a few days ago, is our reactions to thoughts about and our wish list.
I think we said we should just kind of go into the wish list because we could sit here and spitball, you know, we could be the people on the internet going, why and what's the point?
I don't understand. We don't want to do that.
But they're doing a second edition of Star Trek Adventures. So, okay.
So what do we want to see in it? So
what do we want to see? And is there anything we particularly don't want to see? Yes. Which actually, some of the things I don't want to see are more like, well, I want this and I don't want this.
Right, in place of something else. Really quickly, though, before we jump into it, just in case you haven't seen this or you're not on Modiphius's email list, I'll read you quickly. I'm just going to read the text of the email that came out a few days ago that announced this thing. It says, during its 7-year voyage, Star Trek Adventures has brought the intrepid explorers, alien worlds, and futuristic technology of the Star Trek universe to the tabletop in immersive and faithful detail. I would agree. Now the brand new second edition of the award-winning role-playing game brings together crews from across the franchise, including Strange New Worlds and Prodigy. Woo! Woo-woo, to explore the galaxy like never before. Create original characters and live out their lives with a diversity of species and backgrounds from across the different polities. They love that word, polities. I've never seen the term polities used in such density in any writing in my life, but whatever. It's accurate. So of explored space from Federation Starfleet officers to Klingon warriors, Romulan agents to Cardassian soldiers, and many more. While Star Trek Adventures Second Edition's core mechanics have been streamlined, they remain fundamentally the same as the first edition, just snappier and smoother to play. Combat, ship management, character creation, and complex task mechanics have all spent some time in dry dock and have been upgraded to the latest Starfleet protocols, refined, refreshed, and ready for your new explorations. Voyage into the unknown as the crew from any era, any fleet, and forge your character stories where weird is just part of the job and your service, sacrifice, and compassion will be truly tested. These are the voyages of your ship, your crew, live it together. So it featuring an updated and streamlined version of the 2D20 rules system designed for an authentic Star Trek experience, compatible with 1E supplements and books, more on this later, be part of a crew from any Star Trek era, including Prodigy and Strange New Worlds. It's expected to roll out at Gen Con in August of 24, starter set to launch in the fall, and much more to follow. I'll put a link to the page where that was in an email. That text is not on the website page, the landing page, but the landing page that I'll have a link in the show notes. And you're also supposed to like and subscribe. There's a link in there. So if you want to sign up for updates for this, we've made it easy on you from them, not us.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your first thought? And then we can talk about our wish lists.
I mean, yeah, I was just like, okay, second edition, I think it was more of a concern. I've got no issue with a second edition because I mean, I was surprised it was 7 years. It feels like less.
Yeah.
But, you know, your average for a role-playing game is, you know, between 5 and 10 years. So 7 years, yeah, that seems fine for a new edition. And 2D20 has come a long way since this. You know, it was the sort of fourth slash, because it came out really soon. I feel like it came out sort of around the same time as John Carter, but probably beat John Carter to market, but after John Carter had the Kickstarter. It was that kind of time period.
And it's before before Octune Cthulhu, but Octune Cthulhu.
Oh, way before.
Yeah. And well before, you know, obviously Dune and Fallout and those things.
So, you know, when this came out, this was a relatively sort of like dumbed down version of 2D20 already, because that's comparing it to Conan, Mutant Chronicles, and Infinity.
Correct.
John Carter went the far extreme, and then this was like, well, this is somewhere in the middle. But since then, things have been closer to this
than most
like the Infinity. And this is in the middle. And it's not, you know, it's not a million miles away from what we see in Acting Cthulhu and sort of the base of the World Builders program, the SRD.
So your first thought was, oh, okay, it was crazy. I mean, when you point out that it has been 7 years.
I can't believe that.
I can't believe that. That's bonkers. I do remember, I still have the closed beta playtest materials.
Yeah.
And I remember signing up for that because it's Star Trek. Yeah. And I remember not at all being familiar. I had never heard of Modiphius. I knew nothing about the core. I knew nothing about anything about it. I was just knew it was a Star Trek game. And I remember downloading that and reading through it. I'm like, I can't get my head around this. I don't understand. I don't think it was very well described how the mechanic worked and why it worked that way. And I remember going and playing a one-off session at a local store of Conan because I understood that it was basically the same core mechanic. And after I sat down and played it, like is so often the case with things like this, then I understood it. But yeah, it is crazy that it's been this long. My first thought was, yeah, I guess it makes sense. I mean, especially for those folks who've been paying attention, and we've seen how the rules have been not so much refined as in like the mechanics have changed, but that new things have been added in additional books, and the way they explain things and the way they lay out their books in terms of the writing and visually, that has evolved within this line. And so when you look at the stuff that's come out within the last few years, especially the Klingon rulebook and the Tricorder Box rulebook, and you go all the way back to that Federation rulebook, there's a big gap in how things look and how things read and how things are laid out, in addition to some additional rules. So it made sense. You know, I saw not many people, but a couple of, you know, grouchy people online, like, it's just a cash grab. And like, I don't think so. I don't take it that way. It seemed appropriate.
I kind of feel like it is, but it doesn't bother me, because we have heard from men, not just Modiphius, from so many role-playing game developers, and they all say the same thing. In fact, miniatures games developers, when you release a new edition, you make a lot of money.
Sure.
So you have to release a new edition every now and then, otherwise you are going to go bust, because when you release a new edition, everyone who plays that game, whether they want it or not, will buy it.
Yeah.
And new people coming in.
The vast majority of continuing players, GMs, whatever, they're going to buy that.
It's also a good way of getting new people, because there'll be people who go, I want to play Star Trek. And then they go, oh my God, there's 15 books. I'm guessing. I have no idea. Where do I, you know, obviously you start with the core, but do I need all this other stuff? And it puts them off. Now, when you have it's one book.
Yes.
It's a really good jumping on point. So actually having a new edition every now and then, you know, it is a good thing in general. Yeah. So I don't begrudge them the fact that, you know, if that was their reasoning, fine, doesn't bother me.
Yeah,
this is the game that I am guessing does the best for them. So yeah, release a second edition.
Now, what's your thought? What's your thought on what I just read? What little they've said, and I don't, you know, obviously this is something that they're going to tease out over the next several months worth of, you know, marketing promos and things like that, and information, you know, dribble of marketing information. What do you think of what I just read? What they say is going to be in it? What do you think of that?
Well, there's four main things that I'm going to go over. Since you read the whole thing, I'm going to go over all four. And you'll probably agree with them. The first one is that they keep making reference to Strange New Worlds and Prodigy. Strange New Worlds, I think, fair enough, because it's the kind of the main new thing. But it's also, you could play that now. There is nothing stopping you. Strange New Worlds is just original Star Trek. So I don't really see that, you know, other than it going, Strange New Worlds. Yeah. It's not really a selling point. You could do that now. Why they keep mentioning Prodigy, I have no idea. It's like, it's a kid's program. Does anyone watch it?
However, I wonder, I mean, the Lower Decks book seemed to have been, at least in terms of the chatter online, the sustained chatter online and on the Modiphius Discord, the Lower Decks book seems to have been very well received. So there are very different audiences. Yeah, yeah, but there are sub audiences within the Star Trek, you know, gaming community that, you know, they really seem to dig that. And my guess is that there's probably a sub audience out there that, and plenty of people who would really, really want to play Prodigy. And I know that there was a lot of tooth grinding over its cancellation. Whatever. I mean, I don't blame them. I think that, I think Strange New Worlds, I don't have a problem with, you know, I mean, I, the last time I ran Star Trek Adventures, we were running it during that era. And, you know, the closest thing to it was the Discovery book, which had some content from it in it. But I don't mind when an official property goes ahead, like, you know, when the Command book came out and some of the other books that have come out over the last few years, and there are more ships that I recognize from the movies and the TV series. Yeah, could I actually just run those as the character? Could I? Yeah, I could do all that. But it's nice to see their official spin on it. So I don't begrudge them that.
I think it's more marketing spin than anything else, but it doesn't, again, it doesn't bother me. The big one, or one of the big ones that's done it, is the fact that it isn't going to be just Starfleet anymore. Now, it could have just said you can play from a variation of species, but it actually makes it very clear you can play Starfleet or Klingons in the Empire. It doesn't say it, but that's what I'm implying. Romulan agents and Cardassian soldiers. So instead of just,
and many,
you know, the first book was just Starfleet.
Yeah.
Just Starfleet. So this implies you're going to be, you know, it's now it's a Star Trek game. Really, the first one should have been called sort of Starfleet Adventures, because if you wanted to do something that wasn't Starfleet, tough. You really
could.
Well, I mean,
you could. You know, just like you could play in any era, you can. You can just reskin things. Now, having the written up rules, like the Klingon rule book is really good. There's a lot of really great stuff in there about Klingon culture and Klingon society and stuff like that. And so they build that into Life Path, and the house creation mechanic, I think, is really neat. So yeah, could you do that on your own for Romulans and Cardassian? Sure. Would it be nice to see their spin on it? I would like to see that, because the stuff that they've done thus far, I think, has been quite good in terms of like how, what they've done with the story content. But yeah, I agree with you completely. They could have called the original book Star Trek Adventures Starfleet Core.
And then we have this thing where it's, and it says it twice, the core mechanics have been streamlined.
Yes.
And it says that again later, an updated and streamlined version of 2D20.
Designed for an authentic Star Trek experience.
So
yeah,
that's the one that sells my alarm bells ringing. But I guess we'll come back to that.
Okay.
What we want. And then I think the last thing is the fact that he does say it's compatible with first edition supplements. Now, again, that's something I guess I'll talk about later. But so those are the four things that stand out to me as being like, I mean, one of those is not really an important thing, but
yeah.
Yeah, there's a big addition to it, but then are we losing stuff?
What do you mean?
Well, So let's say, so things, essentially, do we want to start with things we want to see? Actually, I don't think it matters. There's things we want to see and there's things we don't want to see. And we want to phrase like that. Our wish list and our non-wish list is things I don't want to see losing the game.
Before we dive into that, I think your question, like for me, I think it's pretty obvious here that you're right. This is if how they are describing it and the clear valid implicate or inferences one would draw from what's here in this copy, this is going to be a Star Trek game rulebook and things, supplements, not a Starfleet. So I think that may, like, if this game were to come out and there were no rules for making Romulan something or other, people would be like, wait, your copy, you know, implied that. I think the biggest question mark here, and I don't see, you know, sometimes people that has a negative connotation, I just mean it's a question mark, is this updated, streamlined, designed for an authentic Star Trek experience and then compatible with 1E supplements. We know absolutely nothing about that. We know zip doodle about what they've done. We know what other games they've come out with since. We know what rules, innovations they've done for those different properties, but we don't know a darn thing about what they've done. What do they mean by streamlined? What do they see? I think there is an implication here that they could, that these will be a better way to experience an authentic Star Trek experience than the existing rules. I mean, why would they change it? Why would they say that? So what I'm curious about is, what do they see in the current rules that they say, you know what, we need to, there's daylight between an authentic Star Trek experience and what these rules are doing. So what are we going to change? And by streamlining, what they mean, what do they mean? We have no idea. So I personally don't think it's even worth conjecturing.
No.
Because we've got no, we're not going to be like internet trolls and just be like, well, I think they did this. And then we're going to act like that's what they did. We have no idea. So I'm cool with wish lists and wish.
So I think my first wish list is that they, I have two, there's something I could lose and there's something I think does need changing.
Okay.
I would like the system to stay pretty much as is. The base system with your disciplines and stats works really, really well. So keep that's how 2D20 works, the standard, you know, talents and so on. Truths are in it, but they could be brought more to the forefront. You know, I want that to basically stay the same. So the thing that I was like, that's what worried me. If they're going to sort of change that. So if you think of, for example, you know, how momentum works, all that, how is it? It must be determination. It's not fortune. It is. That'd be weird. I want that to stay the same. That's the 2D20 role-playing game.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen the, whatchamacallit, the captain's log, which because it was solo, they massively streamlined that.
Yeah.
Momentum becomes something very, I can't see them doing that, but I don't want to see that. I don't want that.
And they dump challenge dice. And they have, you know, in Dune, there are no challenge dice. I agree with
dumping challenge dice wouldn't really bother me because I don't think, challenge dice, I think, are really good in a game where there's loads of combat and the effects on the combat dice mean something. So in something like Conan and Infinity, something like Fallout, Act of Cthulhu, where there is a lot of combat, I think challenge dice are fun. They're useful. Star Trek, to me, shouldn't focus on the combat, and therefore I don't think you need challenge dice. I mean, if they're still in there, great. But if challenge dice went, that wouldn't bother me. It was the kind of the way that, you know, if they totally change how momentum works.
Right.
If momentum changes and works in some weird, like if you look at Dreams and Machines, momentum works in a totally weird, wacky way. I'd like momentum and your basic dice roll and everything to stay the same as it is in most 2D20. I'm perfectly happy with it being different in Dreams and Machines because that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
I don't mind it being different in John Carter because that's what you change it in this. It's almost a completely different game.
Because I was thinking the exact same thing. I mean, the biggest innovation we've seen with momentum is in is in Dreams and Machines. And then John Carter has the outlier of the personal momentum pool.
Yeah.
Which does change things significantly, I think, over time. I would, if we were to see something like that, I don't think we would see one of those, but if we saw something that was qualitatively on par with those in terms of being different from the current way, I would want to see a significant explanation as to why this is going to make your Star Trek experience better. Because I think that the nuts and bolts of this game work. They work well.
Yeah,
I've played this game with tons of people who are like really experienced gamers who love Star Trek, really experienced gamers who are Star Trek, you know, like barely know anything about it, and inexperienced gamers who really like Star Trek. And it has worked very well for all those people. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. What's your other thing or things?
I got a bunch more, but I'll let you do because I've done one, so you can do one.
And I have a really simple one. And I think that this is more than likely already a done deal. The layout, you know where I'm going. Dear listeners, too, you know where I'm going. I don't want to see black pages with itty-bitty white font. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that for two reasons. It's a bear to read, and I hate the little like soap bubble fingertip grease that gets on. I mean, you know, I don't like that. So my sense is that that's already been taken care of because when we look at all of the current books, they're all white pages with black text.
I don't mind the black pages, but the tiny text on top of the black pages was a nightmare. You know, it looked nice, but it was not functional.
That's the problem. That's exactly what I was going to say. So it's like, that's all fine and good. You know, I have a picture of, why the hell would you want like a picture of like a spread of pages from a book? But I want to see that. Yeah. I desperately want to see that gone and as you would say, binned forever. But I think that's probably already a done deal. I'd be shocked if that weren't.
All right, let's go with another one. One place I would like to see streamlined. So in general, I'd like more examples and better explanation on the rules. Okay.
Yes,
so general criticism, when your rules are quite different from the norm, you know, we can get around this now because we understand how 2D20 works. But whenever they introduce something new, it's always a bit clunky. So for example, in the scientific method, and I'd like the scientific rules to basically stay the same because I think they're really clever and good, but they're not well explained. It's something that is quite complicated. Explain that better. Combat, explain that better. So I'd like to see better explanation. The place I'd actually like to see some work on streamline is the ship combat rules. The ship combat rules are way too complicated. You need like six people in your party. So each person has their own station and they know exactly what they're doing. But then there's the GM. You're meant to be running like multiple ships and you're meant to be running like all of what the ships. So if the GM is meant to be running multiple ships, you know, it needs to be simplified, massively simplified, because it's way too complex. And I basically just avoid, I think I've done one ship combat ever. And it just took for ages. And it was like two players against one enemy ship. And it still felt like it was a slog.
Yeah. I think that, there was an episode I listened to recently, from Continuing Conversations about the Klingon War book. They were talking about, are you giving me the bird? Anyway, they were talking about the ship combat and some of the things that they did in there for streamlining purposes. And they, I agree. The ship combat needs to be improved and refined. I think it needs to be improved in terms of the rules themselves need to be altered and revised so that it is easier to understand and easier to run and doesn't bog down at the table. The second thing I think that needs to happen big time with the Starship Combat rules, and I hope for, is that they are better explained.
Yeah.
And because Starship Combat, you put the word combat in there at a tabletop RPG session, and the thought is combat, like I'm doing stuff. I have my sword, or I have my gun, or I have my like wire foo, or whatever. Starship Combat's not like that. It's pressing buttons, and it's figuring out, like, you know what's funky is, I think that more players, if I'm going to make a D&D example, in Starship Combat, more players are clerics than in your standard D&D combat party.
Yeah,
more players' characters are doing are creatively doing supporting things rather than the thing, which is maneuvering the ship. Well, even that's a means to an end, firing weapons or things like that. The system, I think, needs to be refined, and then it needs to be explained better. And man, oh man, I really hope I see this throughout the rule book. Here's something I'll throw at you is, like you just said, I need better example. I need examples. It's something that I've been over backwards to do in Eris, and I'm doing more of in this revised edition. And I really need them to do that. Like when you introduce a complex system that has multiple like sub pieces and parts, I need a short example about most of those parts. And then I need a big comprehensive example that ties them all together. They need to do that, especially with Starship Combat, because people coming in from other kinds of games need to get their head around it. And just reading informational text is not going to, I don't think that's going to do the trick. So I hope to see that.
What's your next one?
Oh, my next one. It's obvious, like you said before, that they seem to be making this to be a true Star Trek game, not a Starfleet game.
Yeah.
I still think that the lion's share of Star Trek is Starfleet.
Yeah.
Right. And so I anticipate that I will see more of a balance, more different possibilities for story types and story settings included, but I hope that they don't try to balance it as if all of those are equal.
Yeah.
If that makes, like, because, you know, this post-scarcity, you know, utopian, I mean, as dopey as it is, you know, hopeful future. That's not the dopey part. The other stuff is dopey. But it's still nice. It's nice to imagine. That's all Federation stuff.
Yeah.
And so what make, like, the heart of Star Trek is Starfleet. It's not Romulans backstabbing each other or Cardassians backstabbing each other or Breen shooting one or other people or Klingon. You know, it's not. And so all those other backdrops, settings, cultures, whatever's, play styles, they serve as part of the Star Trek universe, but they also serve, I think, to spotlight what makes Federationdom good.
Yeah.
And so I hope they don't try to just treat everything like it's like everything's equally represented. Well, but, you know, I doubt that they will.
I think it'll still be more Starfleet because they will be talking about all of the different things, and every single version of Star Trek is still Starfleet is the main thing. I mean, even in Picard, where he's technically not part of Starfleet, and like it's all still Starfleet adjacent. You know, we're not having a thing where the main characters are like Klingons or Romulus or something. One thing with that, though, is that they are going to have to add in some rules that do not exist at the moment, which is basically buying stuff. So at the moment, there is no like kind of economics, money stuff at all. If you get given stuff based on your missions and it's all on the ship kind of thing. But now, if you can play as Klingons and Romulans, well, as far as I know, they all use money, and the Ferengi use money.
Obviously. And what if you wanted to play as a merchant or some kind of a freelancer or something like that? Like that, I think that needs to be accounted for. I agree. I mean, I don't want to see it as like, you know, Traveler does money stuff the way Traveler does, and that works for Traveler. I don't want to see that for Star Trek, but I'd like to see that included. Yeah.
So my next one, and it's the one I don't think I'm going to get. I like the kind of life path this character creation. Now, Star Trek's character creation isn't as little life pathy as some other ones. It's much, you know, compared to Infinity and Conan, which is super detailed. It's much more simple compared to that.
Sure,
but I like Conan the idea especially. Of like, you know, you have a planet you start on, and then you have sort of what you did when you were younger and your background, and then you have, you know, where you went to sort of your training, and then, you know, that kind of thing. You have like a, you know, a chart for stories that happened, but that's a Starfleet thing. Now, if you're going to have that life path generation for Starfleet and Klingon and Romulan and Cardassian, it's not going to fit. So realistically, if you can't have it for all of them, you can have it for none of them. So I'm worried that you're just going to be like, pick a species, pick an archetype, and the archetypes will be shared across them. And there'll be some which are like, you know, and it might just be literally species, archetype, sort of background. That's it. And so it'll be a much more, because they have to have a character creation that suits completely disparate the polities, like the word it used, which I think is going to be a shame, but I don't see another way around that.
Well, okay. Maybe here's optimism. I agree. I think that the life path in the core book is a Starfleet life path, really, obviously. In the Klingon book, it is a Klingon life path. I think that if you try to pan out and create a generic life path, it loses its story value.
Yeah.
Now, the Klingon rule book, as compared to the Federation core rule book, is, I forget exactly how much thicker, but it's like 30 or 40, 20, so it's a good chunk larger. So perhaps they are going to include that. Maybe they're not going to, and then, like I said, pure conjecture, maybe they're not going to like go nuts about it. You know, maybe they'll still point back to the Klingon book and say, if you really want super duper Klingon stuff, go there, buy that book. But I hope that they don't go generic on the life paths. I hope that they provide a way to keep that specificity. The degree to which they choose to include Cardassians and Romulans, we need to see life path stuff that's not generic.
I'd love to see it still in there. I just don't see how it's feasible. So my gut feeling is you remove that, you have basic character creation, and then you can release a Starfleet book and a Romulan book and a thingy book, which build on top of that. Kind of like we saw in Conan, where you would have your, you know, you had your base thing. But then we got a bunch of extra stuff if you wanted to create slightly different characters. And I've seen that as well in some Infinity. You had the basic character creation, which did have all the different factions in.
Right.
It had all of the different factions in the character creation. But then you got a separate faction book that went into more detail with more options for each faction to like make them stand even more.
That would seem like a pretty traditional RPG approach in terms of how different blocks of content are divided and packaged for sale. That does seem that way. So perhaps that's going to, who knows? But yeah, whether it's in a core book that is longer or it is, maybe we get a diet version, you get a couple of, like, for lack of a better word, generic life paths, but that are specific enough for different, you know, for Klingons, for whatever. And then in future supplements, there's even more detailed. I'm with you. The one thing I don't want to see is that black background, and I don't want to see just a one size fits none, you know, putty colored blah life path for everybody.
Well, I'm trying to decide. I can't actually decide it. Some of their games have two core rule books and some have one. Now, this actually does say, so like Acting Cthulhu, we have two books.
Yeah.
And Dreams and Machines, we have two books. You know, you have basically have a rule book and you have a GM book. This does say the second edition core rule book. Which implies one, but doesn't really mean anything because, you know, there's nothing stopping them splitting that and going, oh, well, we meant two. That does imply one. And obviously it'd be easier to do one rather than two. I can't decide which I actually prefer. I mean, it's handy to be able to hold on to your GM book and give your players the player book because they want to look up something and you need the GM book because it's got the bad guys in it.
I don't think they're doing that. I think it's very clear. The second edition core rule book is singular, expected to premiere, and then there's a starter set. You know, who knows? Maybe there's, who knows? We don't.
Yeah, I don't really mind either way. It's just kind of like, I don't know. The thing I don't like about two is that it's always costs more when there's two.
Sure.
Like if we look at Dreams and Machines, there's no way one core rule book for Dreams and Machines is $100. But that's what it was for the two separately.
Correct.
So I think I would prefer, purely in finance, I would prefer one.
Right. Yeah, I think this is going to be one. What else? What other things do you hope to see in this?
I think that's mostly it. I don't want to see massive change. Partly because if there's massive changes, all the first edition stuff becomes, it doesn't come out completely useless. But it feels like it becomes like,
now, from what I understand, when it comes to compatibility, it says compatible with 1E supplements and books. More on this. From what I understand, there is actually a conversion.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. There's a difference between compatible straight out of the box and having to do conversions.
And it sounds to me, and I could be wrong on this, but it sounds to me, based on what I've heard, that there is some degree of conversion that has to take place if you want to do it rules as written. That's my understanding.
But I mean, that's why it could be as simple as, actually, we're massively changing how ship combat works, so all ship stuff is now different. We've got rid of combat dice, therefore damage ratings is just a number and you add momentum, which is fine. That kind of thing is like straightforward. I mean, I feel sorry for everyone who's bought Utopia Planitia because that book's probably, I wouldn't be surprised.
Who knows? Who knows? I mean,
despite the fact that that's probably the best first edition book.
Well, but think
that's
about
the
this,
one
though.
Most likely to go.
Think about how that one seemed to be, like I had mentioned earlier, that, you know, Lower Decks seems to have been very well received by the community at large. Utopia Planitia, I felt like it was the same way. There was a huge groundswell of enthusiasm when that was announced. And I have heard from folks nothing but joy over what the book has in it and what the book does. Now, you and I, when we reviewed it, I remember there were some issues and questions we had that unfortunately were like pure Modiphius. Like you're just not describing things very well. I remember that. So perhaps there will be something that'll be Starship related that will help make more sense of that. I don't see them incorporating that stuff into it. I don't know. I mean, when they say that it's streamlined and updated and streamlined. I'm just hoping that is tweaks, not wholesale
Yeah. I mean, just
dramatic changes.
If it is just changes to it's the fact that it says combat, ship management, character creation, and complex task mechanics. That makes me think that they're working on the scientific method.
Yeah.
I don't know why they work. The fact that, you work, look at combat, you think combat is already really simple in Star Trek. So the only real way I see you make that quicker is removing combat dice. Yeah. Ship management, there is tons you could
do. There's a lot of work to be done there.
And character creation makes me think, yeah, you can make characters a lot quicker if you don't have a life path thing. So, maybe that's what they're doing. So I wouldn't be surprised to see combat dice go. But I don't think that would matter. Like, if you took combat dice out of a combat heavy game where you have loads of effects on the weapons, disaster. You don't have loads of effects on weapons in a Star Trek game. So it's not the same thing. It's not important.
Now, here's something that I know that's public. I know about, when it says ship management. In the Federation Klingon War Book, there are a bunch of optional rules. Or new rules, optional rules, however you view them as a GM. But there's a new power management rule system in the Federation. And the idea was, we need to give more people, the engineer, we need to give other people sitting at the table things to do, substantive things to do during ship combat. So I wonder if perhaps that is one of these rules innovations that has developed over time, that they're going, okay, now this is going to become a core rule. It's not going to be something that's sitting in this additional book. I mean, I do wonder how many of the, little tweaks and additional like subsystems, like in the Command Division supplement where they talked about Admiralty campaigns. Yeah. Apparently there's a lot more of that, a significant more in terms of rules, which frankly sound really good to me. In that Federation Klingon War Book. So I wonder, is there going to be some shadow of that, or a lesser version of that in this new core book, which then provides the connectivity between that and the Federation Klingon War Book, but would give people who just have this book something to work with. So, yeah. Is there anything else that you would love to see, or you really don't want to see?
No, there's nothing else I desperately want or don't want. It's more of a query of, I wonder, like, some of the books that we knew were coming and now we don't know what's happening. And actually also that book you're talking about, because if that book just drops just before second edition, it could be immediately invalidated. But the ones I'm really thinking of is, like, we've been told there will be a Picard and a Discovery season 3 and 4 book. I have to assume that those are second edition books now.
Yeah, and I have to assume that Strange New Worlds is going to be obviously a second edition book. Now, from what I understand, second edition has been in the works for, since last year.
Yeah.
At least. The Federation Klingon War Book was in the works from before that. And so there has been parallel development. I can't, and considering that it's the same group of people doing the writing, and, Jim Johnson is overseeing it, I can't see them being like, well, yeah, here, buy this new book, and in a couple months, a new version is going to come out and invalidate half of what's in that book.
I don't see
that happening.
It's awkward, though, isn't it? Because if it comes out before second edition, then it has first edition rules. And then if there's a lot of combat stuff in it, and they're going to change, it will have a bunch of new combat. Well, we're just speculating.
Yeah, that's speculation. So, yeah, I don't have anything else. There's nothing else that I'm concerned about or really hopeful for outside of what I've said. I'm definitely going to follow the updates and see this. Like I said, this email dribble campaign, no doubt of updates about it. And I'll be curious when it comes out. But yeah, the original starter set and the original Federation rulebook are now out of print. So then that happened about a month or two ago, apparently. And so now you've got people like, oh, I'm going to sell my rulebook, make a bunch of money or something like that, whatever. But yeah, those are now, if you're listening and you just got clued into this and you've been waffling over picking up the original rulebook, and or the original starter box, if you can find physical copies, you should go snatch them up now, because they are out of print. So however many are out there are the ones that are out there, and there aren't going to be any others. I don't know if they haven't said anything, and I haven't heard anything about PDF availability. Will you still be able to buy the PDF version of the original core book? I have no idea, but physical copies are now, done. You can't order them from Edifius, as far as I know, unless they have stock, and they're not going to be reprinted.
There you go. So yeah, it's pretty exciting news.
I think so.
Gives us a better idea of what is coming for, you know, because we kind of had this conversation a while ago. I literally said a few episodes ago, or it might have been off air, surely they're running out of books for Star Trek, and lo and behold, they're doing a second edition, which is exactly what you do when you're starting to run out of books. So,
well, you know, it's terrific though. Think about this for a minute. You know, they can now do Strange New Worlds, and they can now do Prodigy stuff. Now, who knows, with Prodigy being dead as disco, who knows? Maybe Modiphius has leave to develop stuff that would be Prodigy-esque, but it's like they can riff off of it. I mean, the Shackleton Expanse is a setting that the licensors allowed them to develop wholesale. And the fact that they're coming out with a Strange New Worlds, obviously, I'd love to see a Strange New Worlds book with all kinds of information about the Gorn and stuff like that. There's a good amount of content. And as long as Strange New Worlds keeps producing, and as long as, you know, we you know, who knows, maybe there's going to be another series or another movie or something like that.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So dear listeners, if you have heard anything, especially outlandish and baseless rumors, we would love to hear those. No, that's not true. I'll edit that out.
Well, speaking of outlandish and baseless rumors, I heard that there was something else they were working on, but we'll have to leave that for another episode.
Oh, no, we can mention that because that's public. That is a Discworld set of games, including a Discworld RPG based on, was it Terry Pratchett? Is that his name?
Yeah. Yeah.
His series of books, which I have read none of.
Why did you tell me that?
Because I saw it. I thought you might. Have you read any of them?
Yeah, well, that's a whole other story.
Okay, so that's a whole other story. So we'll table that for now. But yeah, Modiphius is busy doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So if you've heard anything as this evolves, as this develops, this whole Star Trek Adventures thing, get involved in the conversation. I would love to know what's your wish list of things you would love to see in this rule book and things you would desperately don't want to see in this rule book. Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Drop a comment, join the Discord, and let us know what you think.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe multiple times. Like vote early and vote often, that kind of thing.
There we go.
Thank you, as always, for listening to Fluff and Crunch. You can join our Discord. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel, all through the links in the show notes. Thanks again. Have a great day. We look forward to talking with you.